expanded to the northwest, and so in the region. So it's worth taking time off work. It's worth getting out of school for. Kids are going, yeah, you know. It's worth spending a little bit of money and going to a motel for a couple nights and a little bit of restaurant food, because God's going to speak to us there. He's going to say amazing things. Our theme this year is Hope Realized, and God is just speaking some great stuff to us. The message I'm preaching today is also a word that God's doing and giving in our whole region, so you get to hear it here as well. And I've actually spoken it a couple times in some other churches, but this is for us here at the Life Center as well. And that's why we've changed things a little bit. There's going to be a time for you to respond and receive some prayer after this message today. And so excited about that. We've been on this theme. What was it? I am, right?
I am.
Have you guys got that yet? And you might, we might even call this, I am under an open heaven. I want to explain what that means in a little bit. We're going to read the verse in John chapter 1. We're going to kind of walk through what Jesus was doing. And we're going to walk through what he was saying, not just to Nathanael, but to us today. It's the same message. We're still in that time. We're still in that season. We're still in that dispensation. So let's take a look at the Word of God today in John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Has anybody ever burst your bubble like that? Tried to burst your bubble? It's like, hey, we found Jesus. He's the Messiah. And they're going, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And he kind of tried to burst his bubble. But Philip, he said, "Come and see. Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom, indeed in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi," or teacher, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, there was a lot of amazing things going on here. Jesus is actually inviting a lot of people into the family, into the church, into a relationship, into discipleship. Philip and Nathanael weren't the first two. We had Andrew. Andrew went and found Peter. Jesus found Philip. Philip went and found Nathanael. And they all just kept telling each other, "We have found the answer we've been looking for, the promised one, the Son of God, the Messiah. We have found him, and he is Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth." And we'll talk a little bit about skepticism. Anybody ever been skeptical? Maybe you're still skeptical, you know. Not sarcastic, that too, but skeptical as well. And there's times that we are skeptical, but God has some really good help for those of us that are skeptical. I really want to title this Greater Things. There's greater things for us than what we currently know, than what we currently experience. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to have somebody tell me about God. I want people to tell me who God is. What is God saying? What is God doing? I don't come to church to hear about God. I come to church to hear God. And I get to hear him at home. I get to hear him in my pickup going down the road or my car. I can hear God anywhere. But when we come together in a church, in a corporate setting, God speaks. And he speaks in a special way to us as a group. So I'm glad that I'm not just here to hear about God, but I'm here to hear from God today. God's still speaking. He's alive. He's involved. He's engaged. He's here. He's on planet Earth. He loves us. He has a plan for us. He's actively working a plan, and he invites you and I into this plan. He invites you and I into what he's doing. In that day, he's inviting Philip, come follow me, Philip. And Philip says, hey, my brother Nathaniel, come follow us. We're going to go be with Jesus. And I heard Jesus say, Kelly, come follow me. Well, God, I've got my own plans. You know, I've got my own family stuff going on. I've got my own dreams that I'm chasing. Lord, I have places to go and people to see and things to do. And he says, I put a bunch of those dreams in your heart. I put a bunch of those passions in your heart. And you'll fulfill the best of those things when you come follow me. And I love that about God. I love that. Yeah, I need to take up my cross and follow him. John talked about that in Sunday school this morning. We have to take up our cross. We have to make our sacrifices. We have to say no to our flesh, say no to the world. We have to say no to things that are hounding us and pulling at us. We have choices to make, right? Do you guys make choices every day? Did you make choices when you got up this morning? And am I going to wear green or not? You know, who is it saying who what day? You know, did you make choices? Did you make choices about breakfast? Let's see, could I have scrambled eggs or granola or cold pizza or nothing? A banana? How about just coffee? I'm just having coffee, you know. We made choices. And you make choices in your life. I make choices in my life. And God says, I want you to make choices for me. I want you to come and follow me. I'm inviting you into the family. I'm inviting you into discipleship. I'm inviting you into ministry. I'm inviting you. So Andrew came to Jesus because John the Baptist was preaching. John actually, earlier in this chapter, two of John's disciples went and started following Jesus because John said, that's the guy, that's the Son of God, this is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, that's the guy. And the two guys look at each other and go, why should we follow John then? Let's go follow Jesus, he's the guy, right? And they went and started following. John was cool with that. In fact, John said, I must decrease and he must increase. He's the guy. And you and I really need to make that decision in our life. Jesus is the guy. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And sometimes, can any good thing come out of Israel? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You get this skepticism going on. Sometimes we're raised to be skeptical, right? Nathaniel was one of those guys. He gives me a lot of hope, Nathaniel does. I'm not skeptical. I'm kind of gullible. Kari says I have a big S on my chest, and it doesn't stand for Superman. It stands for sucker. I'm not that skeptical. I'm a sucker. I'm Mr. Gullible for sure. But there are people out there like Nathaniel who just was like, I'm not sure. I'm not going to go just because you're all excited about it. Peter came because Jesus invited him. Philip came as a direct call. Nathaniel came, and he overcame prejudices. You have to overcome prejudices sometime. Sometimes you have to overcome some prejudices. He was prejudiced against Nazareth, really? Nah, ain't nothing good ever come out of there. Does God challenge your prejudices? He does mine. Sometimes we're prejudiced about gender. Sometimes we're prejudiced about somebody's nationality. Sometimes we're prejudiced about their weight or their height or their hair color or so we can have all sorts of, they just remind me of somebody I don't like, you know? We can have all sorts of prejudices going on. And God challenges that. But he's inviting us into something greater. I want to give you something greater than who you currently are and what you're currently doing. And I love that. I want something greater. I want something greater in life than what I can just figure out for myself on my own. So Jesus invited Nathanael into a different world, a different experience, a different mindset. Can I change your mind that nothing good can come out of Nazareth? Let's see if I can change your mind. And God's up to the task to change your mind. Do you have some friends that God needs to change their mind? I got some friends. They're pretty entrenched in some of their thinking. They're pretty entrenched in some of their prejudice. They're pretty entrenched in some of what I will do, what I won't do, what I will never do. They're pretty entrenched. But the cool thing is, Jesus is up to the task to change our thinking to a better thinking, something greater, greater thinking. He's up to that task. So, what I like about all these different guys that came to Jesus, they came to Jesus in a little different way. If you and I all got up here and testified, how did you get saved? How did you come to Jesus? How did you learn to trust Jesus? A lot of us, most of us, would all have different stories. And there's only one way to salvation, right? There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. But there's a lot of ways to Jesus. There's only one way to get saved, but there's a lot of ways for you and I to meet Jesus and come to meet Jesus. In this church, we try really hard to build bridges out into the community. We try hard to build a bridge into the school systems, build a bridge out there into the hunters of the world, build a bridge out there into the Forest Service people, build a bridge out there into just all the different segments of our society and say that we love you, we include you, we like hanging around you, we're going to build a bridge into your world and give you an opportunity to travel back on that bridge and meet Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ways to meet Jesus, but Jesus is still the only way. And I got to thinking about what we do as a church. Sometimes our volunteer work is what brings people to Jesus. We just had our volunteer appreciation banquet on Wednesday. What fun that was. Man, we had corned beef and cabbage and potatoes and carrots, and we just hung around and visited, and we took selfies, you know, and we heard Arby talk to us and encourage us, and it was just a great evening. Sometimes you serving, you volunteering, you going and helping somebody, that's how they're going to come and meet Jesus. Now, I got to thinking about a lot of other things that we do. We get involved in community organizations. We just go love on people and meet their need. We build a relationship with somebody. We just take care of somebody. Sometimes it's your prayers. John was teaching on prayer in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes it's your prayers. Sometimes it's our music. Sometimes it's our teaching, our youth ministry, our ladies ministry, our men's ministry. It could be ladies day, craft time, Tuesday. What is it called? Tuesday time. It could be Tuesday time, you know, that brings people to friendship and then they end up meeting Jesus. It could be a marriage ministry or singles or a recovery ministry, helping a single mom. There's a lot of ways to get people to meet Jesus. That's why we do a lot of things around here, because we want to reach as many as we can and help as many as we can. What's the definition of ministry? Here's how I've been defining it lately. Ministry is receiving provision from God and delivering it to the needs of people. That's all ministry is. I just get provisions from God. God gives me something, God tells me something, and I go give that and tell that to other people. Getting the provision of God and delivering it to the needs of people. Everybody can do ministry. We all have the opportunity to participate and be involved in ministry. And that's what Jesus was inviting these men into. There was a bunch of ladies that he invited into ministry as well. And he invites you and I into ministry as well. He invites us and says, come on in. There's greater ways to live. There's greater ways to help people. There's greater ways to think. There's greater ways to talk to people and encourage people. There's greater things for you to do. And that's what that calling is about. When God calls you and I, He's calling us into something greater. But if we're not careful, we'll think it's less. instead of greater. It's like, I don't really want to do that. That's less. That's misunderstanding it. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, that's skeptical. That's less. And God said, no, I want you to understand that it's greater. And Nathanael was convinced, and I'm praying that God would powerfully convince us to take another step, to take that next step, to follow Him even farther than we have so far. I'm praying that He would do that. So let's take a close look at Nathanael. Philip witnessed to him. Philip said, man, I have found Jesus. I found the guy. And Nathanael said, nah, I don't think so. Not out of Nazareth, I don't think so. And I love the fact that Philip didn't argue with him. Sometimes we'll start debating with people. Anybody do that? Have you ever changed somebody's mind by arguing with them? I don't think I ever have. I'm pretty sure nobody's ever changed my mind by arguing with me. Philip, he must have had enough experiences with Nathanael to go, and there's no way to out-argue this guy. There's no way to change his mind. This dude is stubborn. He just said, come and see. And that, what a great invitation. We should just say, maybe we should put signs in the parking lot that says, come as you are. Maybe, you know. Just come and see. Jesus makes life better. Come live life here. It's better. Jesus is better. Follow Him. Maybe we should be like that, or maybe we are like that. So Philip and Nathanael came to Jesus. And what's the first thing Jesus did? He looked at Nathanael and He complimented him. He didn't look like, are you the jerk that said nothing good can come out of Nazareth? He didn't say that. He didn't say, dude, I saw you under the tree when you were dissing on my town. I saw you. He didn't say that. He said, here comes an Israelite in whom is no deceit. He complimented him. Yeah, this guy has never fallen prey to a scam. This guy is black and white. This guy, he may be skeptical, but there's no deceit in him. What you see is what you get. And he started complimenting Nathanael. And we live in a world where it's not always black and white. In fact, in our world, black and white isn't celebrated much. It's like 50 Shades of Gray is what we celebrate. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not just talking about that book or that movie, but I'm talking about the concept behind that phrase, 50 Shades of Gray. It's not black. It's just 50 shades of gray. It's not wrong. It's not white. It's just light gray, medium gray, medium light gray, medium light dark gray. It's 50 shades of gray. Or we could even, there's a popular song out there called Blurred Lines, right? And the world is full of deceit, misrepresentation. And Jesus looked at Nathanael and said, this guy's black and white. This guy's crystal clear. This guy, there's no deceit in him. There's a lot of deceit in 50 Shades of Gray. There's a lot of deceit in Blurred Lines. It's like, we just want to deceive you. We want to confuse you. We don't want you thinking black is black. We just want you thinking black is gray and it's okay. That's what we want you, black is the new gray. That's what we want you to think, right? It's okay. But he complimented him. And Nathanael's still quite skeptical. He's still very skeptical. And he's going, how do you know me? How do you know me? And I can see his hands in his pocket. How do you know me? He's probably waggling his head, you know. How do you know me? He says, before you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael, with that phrase, that's a pretty powerful phrase. There's more behind the phrase than just, yeah, you were hanging out under a tree this morning. There's more to it than that. That phrase actually is a concept that a lot of Jewish people would go find a shady place to study the Word of God and seek God. And what Jesus was saying is, your heart really wants to find me. Your heart is really searching for me. And guess what? I saw you this morning looking for truth, looking for an answer, looking for a way out. You were looking for help. You were looking for hope. I saw you, and I'm here. And I'm here. And I don't know what Nathanael was praying that morning. I don't even know what verse he might have been reading that morning. But whatever it is, it caused him to immediately say, "My Lord and my God, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah." And I love what Jesus said. "Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, now you believe? You're going to see greater things than that. You're going to see a lot of greater things than that. You're going to see heaven opened. You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to see that." And Nathanael experienced God. I wonder sometimes if we're in a Nathanael generation. I wonder sometimes if we're in a skeptical generation. Are people skeptical about Christ? Are people skeptical about church? Are people skeptical about what truth is? What truth isn't? Have you heard the phrase recently in the news and in the world? "Well, you just live your truth." Have you heard that? Is that like 50 Shades of Grey? We all have our own truth. No, there's not your truth and my truth and his truth and her truth and everybody has a truth. There's not that. There's one truth. There's only one truth. And the reality is that in our heart of hearts, we want the truth. We're like Nathanael. We're looking for the truth, but you will not scam me. You will not deceive me. I will be skeptical until I find the truth. And Jesus actually operated that day in what we would call the word of knowledge. Something he had no natural ability to know, but God showed him Nathanael under the tree that day. And under the word of knowledge convinced him that there is a God. He sees me. He knows my heart. And he's his son, his Messiah, standing right in front of me right now. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want you to know that you and I are under this open heaven. He said, "Nathanael, you're going to see greater things. You're going to see greater things than that. Just hang on. It's going to be better. You're going to see greater results than I saw you under the fig tree. There's greater ministry gifts available for you. There's greater things that are greater experiences that I want you to have. Greater things." Jesus, when he left the planet in John 14, 12, he said, "The works that I do, you will do. And greater works than these, you will do. Because I go to my Father in heaven." Do you believe that today? Are you experiencing that same spirit that was on Jesus being on you? The same power that was on Jesus being on you? Visitation of angels, delivering things from heaven, delivering revelation, delivering strength, delivering power, delivering answers and solutions. That's available to us today. We're not just a group of people studying the historical God that used to do stuff. We're supposed to be experiencing God. And I want you to experience the Lord fully and completely. When you have a problem, I want you to find an answer. And it doesn't have to be that I or Arby or Kari or one of our elders or somebody gives you an answer. We're willing to. We want to. We're here to help. But I want you to get your answers from the Lord. I want you to hear His voice. I want you to have the gifts of the Spirit flowing in your life. We want you to be like that. The things that I do, Jesus said, you will do. And if God isn't alive, and if God isn't speaking, and if God isn't powerful, what are we doing here? I would not be here today. I wouldn't. There's been many times in my life that I've thought, God, am I being deceived? Are you real? Is this real? And then He starts reminding me, do you remember this? Do you remember this? Do you remember this? Do you remember that miracle? Anybody here have miracles in your life? And God just goes, you remember that? You remember that? Remember when I told you this and then that happened? Do you remember when your wife had a tubal pregnancy and she was supposed to go in for surgery the next day, but I healed her and you have a beautiful daughter named Kristen now? Remember that? Do you remember that? And you're going to start doubting me? You're going to start wondering if this is real? And if you don't have those experiences with God, He wants you to. There's an open heaven for you. It's not just special people, the few people. It's everybody. Everybody. Jesus wasn't just saying, Nathaniel, just you and I are going to see this stuff going on. You're a lucky dude, just you and I. Nope, Jesus kept inviting whosoever will to come, whosoever will to experience. And that invitation's still going on today for you and for me. That invitation is still being given to your friend, your neighbor, your family member that doesn't know God. I've been thinking about some relationship issues in our lives, in our community, that we need the power of God to intervene and change that situation. Anybody know what? Anybody have any of those? You have any of those? We know how it's going to play out, probably, if just human beings act on this thing. We have laws and regulations and rules and lawyers and systems and political things and tools. If we just engage it with our human abilities, we kind of know how it's going to play out. But wouldn't you like to see God do something amazing in that situation? I would. I would. And we can. I really want to open our hearts up today to possibilities, to hope. Not just a wish and a prayer, but building a hope that you experience or that is realized. And these verses explain some of that to us and talk about some of that for us. Nathanael went from a minus 60 to 160 in 2 seconds. Boom. It's like, how can you change somebody's mind that fast? How can you change a prejudiced man who said nothing good can come out of Israel with one sentence, and he's going, you're my God, you're my Savior, you're the Messiah. Sometimes we look at situations and we go, there ain't no way that'll ever change. There ain't no way he will ever change, or she will ever change, or they will ever change. Oh, there's a way. There's a way. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you go, there ain't no way that person will ever change. Oh yeah, there's a way. There is a way. And God spoke to Nathanael about that. I love the Lord's Prayer. Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? Is that thing packed full of hope or what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that hope or what? Is that praying and asking God to do something, to intervene, to change something? It is. Does your family need a change? Does your job need a change? Does your community need a change? Does that person sitting beside you need a change? Come on, elbow them right now. That you need a change. Does that guy standing on the stage with a microphone need a change? I need a change. And there are times, I'll admit to you, there are times that I look at my situation and I look at what life is like and I'm going, this is as good as it gets. It's not going to get any better. I just better learn to cope with this. Give me another Twinkie. What's your coping mechanism, you know? Want to watch the Matlock Marathon on TV, you know? Or grab another beer. Take some more drugs. Go shoot something and kill something. Sometimes that's my therapy. I tell Car, I said, I just got to go kill something. Is it hunting season yet? You know? Sometimes we look at life and we think, maybe there is no hope. Maybe it won't ever change. Maybe this is the end. Maybe we're stuck with our human mechanisms. As messy and as ugly and as horrible as they are, maybe we're just stuck with that and it'll never get better. Man, there's so many times in the Bible God spoke to people and he said, now I want you to do this instead. I want you to do that. There's a Goliath out there. I want you to get a couple of rocks and go hit him in the head. It's like, that ain't going to work. This army, they're all afraid of this guy. I'm a teenager. I just came to deliver bread and cheese, and you want me to do what? And there's times that God will look at you, and he'll say, no, I want you to do something else. This is my will. This is what I want you to do. Do something different. Don't just do your thing. Don't just do the human thing. Let's do the God thing. And I'm speaking to somebody today. God is really trying to get your attention. And he's trying to say, do not do it your normal human way. Stop that. Listen to me. Do it my way. And watch me perform a miracle. Watch me. Watch me do that. I could talk a lot about how God's spoken to me time and time again, and I just had my will and my way, and I was going to just gut it out, and I was just going to push through, and God said, it ain't going to work. Stop. Go do this instead. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's speaking to somebody today about that. Jesus said, you're going to see greater things. The heaven will be open. Angels ascending and descending. You guys believe in angels? Yes. Are they just fat little chubby people on Valentine's Day with an arrow and a bow? Some of them. There are angels around us. Now, you're not on your own. You're not without help. Remember when the Syrian army had surrounded Elisha? Elisha kept telling the king of Israel, well, they're going to do this, so go there and head them off at the pass. Now they're going to go do this, go head them off at the pass. And the king of Syria was like, there's a spy here. Somebody here is telling the king everything we're going to do before we do it. They said, no, it's not a spy. It's the prophet, Elisha. They said, well, let's go kill him then. It's like, okay, God is using this guy to counteract all of your military actions, and your solution is, we're going to get a military action and go kill him. We're going to surprise him. Really? No, God's talking to him. You're not going to surprise him. He's God's guy. So they surround him. They still think they're going to get Elisha. And Elisha and his buddy are looking around, and this army is all around them. And the buddy's going, we're in deep doo-doo, man. He might have said something different than that, you know. And Elisha goes, no, there's more with us than they are. He's, one, two, thousands. You know, I passed math. I can count. And he said, God, open his eyes. And when God opened his eyes, he saw an innumerable amount of angels surrounding him. What did Elisha do that day? They were struck blind, and Elisha led them into the capital of Israel, the whole army. And the king was all excited. We're going to kill him. And Elisha goes, no, we're going to feed him. We're going to pray for him that their blindness goes away, and we're going to send him home. See, that was God's will. Sometimes our will is, we'll kill them. God's going, no, don't kill them. This is not my will. Bless them. Show them your God, your power with your God. Show them your compassion and your mercy and send them on their way. It'll change their heart forever. That group of people never again tried to conquer and fight against Israel. There's some things that you're facing and you're going, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to do whatever I can do to get rid of them. And God's saying, don't. Stop. Stop. Number one, don't be afraid. There's more with us than them. Number two, just don't do it your way. Don't do it your way. Do it my way. Angels are all around us. The answers you need are all around you. There is an open heaven. What does an open heaven mean? An open heaven, it's part of that answer to the Lord's prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Angels ascending and descending talks about ministry from God being given to you, being given to us, being given to humanity. It's open. There's an open heaven. Angels are here. They're present. It means a season of blessing, revelation. Do you guys like revelation? Not the book of Revelation, but just revelation. Knowledge from God. All of a sudden you know. All of a sudden there's the answer. I like revelation. I don't know, but God knows and God tells me. I like revelation. That's really cool. That's available for you. Power, anointing, resources, healings. These are multiplied into our life with an open heaven. It's a season of greater things. And that's what God's doing today. Ezekiel experienced an open heaven. Malachi says this, if you give, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you cannot contain. I'm going to open up blessings for you. There's so many other verses in the Bible, and I got to get to the end here because I want to pray for you. I want to give you an opportunity to receive today. We're in a season of greater things. You are. You are. Greater things. Don't miss it. Don't waste it. Don't stay where you are. Make sure you advance. Make sure that you get what God is saying. Make sure that you experience what He wants you to experience. And we're going to watch a video, and then we're going to invite you to be prayed for here in just a minute. Maybe some of you need healing. Maybe some of you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need an answer. Maybe you need a sovereign, supernatural experience with God to change things that are in your life, in your family, in your own heart, in your own head. Maybe you need that, and I just want you to know it's available today. This is Miranda Curtis. She got healed, and she's got this song that she just wrote, and it's pretty powerful. Let's play it. Message into your spirit there for a while. Sometimes it's hard for us white folks, North Idaho and white folks, to open up to the Spirit of God. I think that's why sometimes God created different peoples, different cultures. They experience God some different ways, and together it's beautiful when we mix it all up. We're going to keep playing this in the background, but I wanted to tell you an experience that my mom had. She told me about it again last night as I was at her house. And we were in Virginia. We lived there for 1 year. Mom and Dad had opened a health spa in Orfino, and it was successful. Dad had a brother who's a paraplegic, was injured in the Air Force, and he wanted to open a business in Virginia, so he invited Mom and Dad to come back and help him open up a health spa. This was like in the early 70s, mid-70s. While we were there, one of Dad's brother's sons, which would have been a nephew of Dad, he died in a motorcycle accident. His name was Terry. He was 17, 18, senior in high school. I just went to a funeral in Yakima yesterday, a senior in high school. Mom was at this funeral, and she was looking into the casket of this 17, 18-year-old boy. And God spoke to her. And God said, Lois, if you don't start serving me, the next time you look into a casket, it will be one of your boys. You say, well, that's a pretty harsh word. No, that's a loving God trying to protect my mom and her family and me and my brother from plans the enemy had if we continued down that pathway. And he said, not only will I save your sons, but I will save your relatives. And Mom, with tears in her eyes last night, she started talking about all of the relatives that we have seen come to Christ and be saved. And they're in heaven today, and they're worshiping God today, and they're free today because of a decision she made, a voice that she heard, and an action that she did, and she persevered through. Was it always easy? No, it wasn't always easy. The cool thing about that word was God knew the only thing Mom really loved in that moment was her sons. She didn't love herself that much. She didn't love Dad that much. But she loved her boys, and she'd do anything for her boys. And the overflow of that blessing was quite amazing. See, that was a revelation. That was a word from God that changed her life. It changed my life. It changed the life of our relatives. It changed the life of the people that she's influenced, my daughters, my grandchildren. It changed lives of thousands and maybe tens of thousands of people, that decision. God's speaking to you today. God's inviting you today. And God wants you to know there is a river flowing. A river of power. A river of hope. A river of anointing. A river of experiencing God. It's never enough for you and I to just logically make a decision and follow God. We must experience Him. We really must experience Him. And we won't all experience Him like black gospel music, you know. We won't all be dancing at the front. But we all will be changed. Our history will be changed. Our future will be changed. So I want to invite you to be prayed for today. Our prayer team's going to come forward. Arby will be here. Kari. If you need a healing, if you need a breakthrough, if you need a revelation, if you need a word from God, if you need wisdom, if you need God to change your skeptical heart about something, if you need God to help you with forgiveness, if you need God to do anything in your life, maybe you're not even a Christian yet. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're like Nathaniel. I don't know. Can any good thing come out of that Christianity stuff? You know, I'm not sure. Maybe today's the day you need to accept Christ as your Savior. And say, I'm giving my life to Him. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me. You love me. You accept me. You have a plan for me. And I'm coming. Hey, if you want prayer, just come on up. I'm going to talk for a little bit more, but these people are going to pray for you. And let this music massage this message into your heart. I've got this on my, I've got this album on my phone, and I'm driving down the road, and it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, midnight, 1 a.m. I'm tired. I turn on Miranda Curtis, and she keeps me awake. That stuff will keep you awake when you're tired. This is one of her mellow songs. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you never leave us alone, that you never leave us to our own ideas, you never leave us stuck in our situations. Lord, sometimes we're taught that we only have power over our own decisions and we can't make anybody else do anything. That's really true, but you can. You won't go against somebody's will, but you'll help their will to change. You'll help their perspective to change. Lord, I'm praying for a group of people who've made a decision and it's wrong. And they're walking it out, and it's painful. It's not just one person, it's many people. And their decision and what they're walking out is negatively affecting our life. It's not your will, it's not right. But yet, in their eyes, they think they have the right. They think it's okay. It's one of those 50 shades of gray thing, God. It's one of those blurred line things. God, I ask you to change their heart. I ask you to open their eyes to the deception that's going on in their own heart. I ask you to help them to see the end result of what this pathway will do in their own life, in their family, in their community. And I ask you to shift their heart. I ask you to bring repentance and humility. I ask you to open their eyes in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you for breakthroughs, God. I ask you, God, for intervention. Lord, maybe it looks like the Syrian army is all around and there is no hope. There's no hope that it'll change. There's no hope that anything different will happen. There's no hope. We kind of already have predicted how this thing will end. But it will not end the way we have predicted, God. It will end the way you have determined, Lord. And you will send your angels, and you will convince, and you will convict, and you will change hearts, and you, God, will be the difference maker. Lord, we pray for miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are not stuck with our own wisdom. We are not stuck with the natural course of life. We are not stuck with the natural decisions and results. We're not stuck with that. We have an open heaven. We can be healed. Life can change. We can have victory. Skeptical hearts can be convinced in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the family says. It doesn't matter what the friends say. It doesn't matter, Lord.